This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Saturday Magazine with Macca, Paul and Fiona. Our next guest is a name that if you don't know who it is, then you need to instantly Google it. Jamie Gardner. Now, Jamie is a doyen. I'm calling you a doyen, Jamie.
Better than a diva, I think.
Much better than a diva, I think. And doyen is a word that's not used enough. It's not used enough. Jamie has been on the front line of the fight for equality for, I reckon, 80% of your life?
Just about.
Yeah, yeah. He never gives up. He's very civilised. He's very calm, very cool under pressure, but about as determined as a bull in a corral of cows. How's that?
And I've just confessed off air to being driven by anger and writing my submission on the current inquiry.
Well, look, anger is a good thing. How you focus it, and is this the inquiry into religious freedom?
So-called religious freedom.
Okay, so the ones that we're not going to, the submissions most likely won't be made public.
Mine will be.
Yours will. Yeah, so-called religious freedoms. Let's touch on this first. I want to talk about a little bit about Midsummer shortly, but religious freedoms, you say so-called, I agree with you. If the ability to sack people because of their sexuality, not employ them, discriminate against them, exclude them, is the definition of freedom, then I think we need less of that, not more.
Yes, look, what it is actually, it's a right-wing American concept which has been imported here by hangers-on of that crowd. And it actually is a weasel word for the truth, which is religious privilege.
Yeah.
Religious freedom properly, or freedom of religion properly, is about giving no preference to any religious body, unlike in the olden days, I use the olden word deliberately, when, for example, in England, the Church of England was supreme, and for a long time Catholics and anyone else were not allowed to worship, let alone be or join the government. So religious freedom is about not infringing people's right to believe, to pray, to gather and worship. And that means not giving preference to any religious belief, including, of course, no religious belief. So that's as far as it goes. It is actually an equality doctrine. What the current push is for privilege, and there is already far too much privilege for religious bodies. They don't pay tax in many cases. They get deferential treatment when it comes to child rape. They get a whole range of ways in which they are thought to be above the law. They are in some cases above the law, and they should not be. The laws need to be fixed. So that, in a nutshell, is my submission.
So one would ask the question, canon law, in the view of the Catholic Church, gazumps state law. In their opinion, they say that, the sanctity of the confessional overrides, and that they'll go to jail. Well, of course, they won't be alone in jail. There's a lot of their old priests are in jail. But what are your thoughts on this? Because you're saying it is about privilege, and there's got to come a time, I think, when this is resolved, and I think this is going to be the discussion. Perhaps they should have a postal survey. The government, those of those beliefs, which I respect, I think they might be surprised at what the overwhelming majority view of Australians is on this issue.
Yes, indeed, that lot were surprised by discovering that outside their bubble, 62% of the population rejected all of their nonsense, and they floated all of these red herring ideas, and they were rejected. So they won't be surprised this time round. Look, they're perfectly at liberty to follow canon law and to go to jail for as long as the criminal law requires. They are not above the law. They used to be able to burn people at the stake for heresy. Not allowed anymore. They used to be able to do all sorts of things with the blessing of the law, and gradually the law has become closer and closer to true religious freedom, which is to say everyone obeys the law. When in a high court case 35 years ago, Acting Chief Justice Mason and Justice Brennan, two of the high court judges at the time, really they were dealing with a tax issue. But in the course of it, the court had to get some idea of what religion was. And they all thought it had something to do with supernatural beings or beliefs or principles. And they also thought it had to do with the ways of conduct. And Justices Mason and Brennan remarked that canons of conduct which conflicted with the ordinary laws applicable to everyone were not subject to that religious privilege. And anti-discrimination laws are precisely the laws, for example, which are laws of general application. The criminal law is the law of general application, which is not subject to religious privilege. They can choose to go to prison if they refuse to obey the law. That is what the law sets down. But canon law does not trump civil law, criminal law, the law made by our parliaments, in any material way. They can keep their immortal souls clean and happy, but they will do it in prison.
Jamie, as you go through this process and what they're talking about in terms of religious freedoms, will it cover all faiths? Because obviously the franchise is quite wide. There's lots of different arms in different parts of the world. What will that mean for the inquiry here in Australia?
Well, that's asking a question which you need to ask the four people and the Prime Minister who commissioned them. What on earth they, or five people, what on earth they think the inquiry is about. Our task as an LGBTI community, our task as human beings who believe in freedom and equality, all of us, the 62% who voted yes for marriage equality, and our friends who realised they made a mistake voting no, to say, well, actually, the inquiry should be about what the law, how the law sets up between religious freedom, properly interpreted, as I've just explained, and everything else. And if they do that, they will come up with a winding back of religious privilege and an end to exemptions and equal opportunity laws, which will be a great thing. It will be bitterly fought, of course, by the usual suspects. But as we now know, they are in a small and diminishing minority. History is on our side.
I think it is. We've got a couple of minutes left. I want to ask you about at Midsummer. Love this. Never a Crime.
Never a Crime is a lovely project being run through by Catherine Barrett and her colleagues through Celebrate Ageing, which is looking at the effect on many old, especially older people. And I definitely fall into these awful categories of old these days. I'm well over 50. And older people, especially probably 95% gay men, suffered the pain of being criminalised.
Yeah.
Under laws that the Victorian Parliament acknowledged, thanks to both the expungement legislation, which we'll mention in a moment, and to the Great Apology, were laws that should never have existed. The laws which made sex between men, consensual sex between men, or between boys for that matter, the laws should never have existed. They were always a breach of human rights, and they should never have been a crime. That's where the project Never a Crime comes from. But it's about not only the people who were convicted, which is not a huge number, and only in the small, you know, I don't think we're up to 100 yet who have applied for expungement of their records, which is available now. But everyone who lived under the cloud. Before 1980 in Victoria, before the 1st of March 1981 in Victoria, gay men, who were not celibate, were outlaws. Every gay man I knew then was an outlaw. I'm happy to include myself in that. Took me a while to get there, but I became an outlaw, thank heavens. But I also joined with others. We set up the Homosexual Law Reform Coalition in 1976, and by 1980, the end of 1980, the law had changed, and the actual came into force on the 1st of March 1981. Mind you, in those days it was a matter of culture. The police continued to prosecute people after the 1st of March 1981, and there are probably people with criminal records which were both illegal as well as should never have been. But that's another question. But the
I was going to say we're going to go to a break in a sec. You're very welcome to stay because we also have a few minutes after the news if you'd like to stay, and I'd like to continue the discussion, Fiona.
We actually have a message that I think encourages that from 317. Wonderful argument and very well articulated. Bless him.
Bless you.
Thank you.
I don't have any holy water here, but you've got some water there. We'll bless that in our own way.
Yes.
Macca, Paul and Fiona on Saturday Magazine. It's pretty warm, 34 degrees, heading for a top of 42. Jamie Gardner is still with us, and we're talking earlier about Never a Crime, a midsummer event, but the expungement of the old convictions, Jamie, and you say probably not quite yet, but probably about 100 people have applied for this, but we were
not quite that yet. But
it's still a sizable number. But the other issue was the Religious Freedoms Inquiry, and which is people have till the end of January. And Fiona, in terms of where people can lodge those, it's a parliamentary inquiry, isn't it?
No,
it's not.
It's a prime ministerial inquiry.
Oh.
So it's being run by the Prime Minister's office, and I think you've got the website going at the stage. There's several different places you could go. You could go to if you're on Facebook or the blogs and so on, you can go to just.equal, or you could go to the stirrer, thestirrer.com or .com.au, I can never remember. For that matter, lots of organisations are putting up their own links, like the Atheist Foundation and the Secular Party. So it's fairly... Just Google.
Yeah, Google it and you'll find. And it's important...
Google Ruddock Inquiry Religious Freedoms. That'll find it for you.
Yeah, you'll find it. Now, it's pretty important because this is going to inform potentially legislation, which, interestingly, same-sex marriage was a private member's bill, but religious freedoms is going to be a government bill.
There's no guarantee or promise...
of a bill?
Of legislation. Look, frankly, we've got to remember that this proposal was floated by the Prime... was announced by the Prime Minister as a device. One can only imagine, no idea why it's there for, except as a device to buy off the constantly yapping corgis. I mean, no, he's out of that lot now. Yeah. Anyway, the right wing of the Liberal and National parties to buy a little free time to actually allow the people who've actually been pushing for marriage equality to get it through Parliament. So this was a kick the can down the road, I think that's the expression, piece of nonsense. Where there's no undertaking or even threat of legislation to come out of it. And it's a very odd thing. There's recently a major inquiry by the Australian Law Reform Commission, which looked at a whole lot of these freedoms questions, including in Chapter 5, religious freedom. And that's sitting on the government's desk or pigeonhole or wherever they put these things, which come up with suggestions they don't like, namely, in the case of religious freedom, there's not much evidence of any encroachment of Commonwealth law on it, which is code for none at all.
Mm.
So where did it come from? What's it for? Goodness knows. Well, we can only guess. It's just a piece of political flummery. On the other hand, Ruddock probably wants to get something out of it, given that he's the person who introduced the anti-marriage equality bill in 2004 for John Howard.
But Jamie, isn't this a great opportunity, though, that now this has actually been raised,
actually
it's going to put a great big spotlight on all the injustices that religious freedoms are giving to religious organisations that are just not justified?
You are so right. You are so right. It is a great opportunity. And out there in listener land, you as individuals, you as groups of friends, you as members of organisations have the opportunity to make that point. Religious privilege is over the top here in a whole range of ways, and it should be wound back. I've mentioned them, the absurd religious exemptions in the Equal Opportunity Act here, in the Sex Discrimination Act, in every anti-discrimination law except good old Tasmania, and to some extent, remarkably, good old Queensland. So, religious exemptions for everything except for the training of an appointment of priests and imams and so on. They're allowed to look after themselves. But everything else, no. They should obey the ordinary laws and should not be exempt. They should pay tax. Religion is not... The advancement of religion might have been a sensible thing to call a charitable purpose in 1601. That's when it got there. And it's still in our law and it should go. There are religious charities that do real charitable works, education, health, relief of poverty. Those are genuine charitable purposes. They deserve religious they deserve tax exemption or so on. So, heaven's sake, they could fix their jolly, even if it's fictional, budget problem immediately by changing those laws.
Well, do you know how much German citizens, where Germans they have a system whereby they contribute a portion of their income, to their church? If they're registered, so like, you know, if you register as a Catholic or a Lutheran, whatever. Last year, the Catholic Church in Germany received 7 billion euros just from taxpayers.
From taxpayers who chose to give the money.
Yeah, as opposed to all of us who actually subsidise the churches.
The last opinion poll done on this, two opinion polls were done on this question here a couple of years ago. Obviously in the run-up to the last federal election in around about April 2016, and they found that 64%, very close to our marriage equality position actually, 64% of the population were opposed to tax-exempt status for religious bodies. And 55% of an international poll, which covered Australia, 55% of Australians said that they did not believe that the advancement of... they believed that religions did... 55% believed that religion did more harm than not. And generally speaking, and Australia ranks highest or second highest in the world on thinking that religion has too many privileges and that money to religion shouldn't be happening. At the same time, we're almost the highest in religious tolerance. We are not sectarian in the way that we were in the 1950s or in the way they are in many countries. But we think that religion should be kept out of politics and we think that taxpayers' money should not go to support religion by a large majority.
And certainly here in Victoria, I think we spoke to Fiona Patton
about her
in the last week, and certainly there's a lot of support here in Victoria to try and raise that sector.
Look, people's beliefs are their beliefs and they're absolutely entitled to have them.
And we are entitled to think their beliefs are nonsense.
Yes.
As most religious people think other people's religious beliefs are, and I think they all are.
It's a franchise dispute.
It's a franchise dispute.
But, you know, at the end of the day, religion is a choice. Pure and simple.
Yep.
People choose. People choose what they believe. They choose what they don't want to believe. But as, you know, as members of a community, and I think I would say to the government, okay, have your inquiry, don't release the submissions. You can all sit round and discuss it and how appalling it is, how badly treated you are, and poor old Scott Morrison. Scott, think of the money. Think of the budget deficit. Think about equity. Think about fairness. But if you did that, then you'd say, oh, well, hang on, why don't we tax them the same as everyone else? And while you're doing it, you know, Qantas probably want you to change the Foreign Ownership Act as well. But end of the day, people have an opportunity to make a submission to this inquiry, don't they, Jamie? And it's very, very important. The government has asked for this. I think they might have made a fatal error. They might actually be surprised at the number of submissions they get and the strength of those submissions. And that's probably why they already get a feeling for that. That's why they don't want to make them public.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right, Macca. And that's why I'm saying everyone should get onto just.equal or thestirrer.com.au or your own organisations and sending in a short letter or a long letter or a full-scale submission saying that religious privilege should be wound back and religious freedoms are fine, are in fact overindulged as they are. We were going to talk about the apology, though, and that's another way
we've got. We have, Paul. You've got a little bit to play?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, come on, we can.
Do you want to play it?
Oh, sorry. No, I don't have that line.
Oh, you don't have it.
Sorry.
So the apology by the Premier and on behalf of the Victorian government, the Victorian people.
And the whole Parliament as a result.
And the whole Parliament. It was a pretty powerful day, wasn't it?
It was a so powerful day. It was so sincere. It was so real. It had lots of people, myself included, in tears. And it realised in a way that so many apologies don't, just how important it was to be treated and accepted as human beings. It's a wonderful speech. I don't know how much of it you're going to play, but it really is worth it. And you can probably get the whole speech on the Parliament website.
I
think you can. It's really worth listening to, and it's something that we should cherish. Victoria was the first to do it. I think some other states have followed us. Not, I think, nearly as beautifully as Daniel Andrews did. And one of the things about Daniel Andrews' speech is that he actually met, some of us organised, for people who'd been convicted and were having their convictions expunged. And he met with them a week before, and we had cups of tea and scones or whatever in the Premier's office. And he met with them and he listened to their stories directly.
Very
and
important.
It was a very moving, very real. When he gave the apology that you're about to listen to part of, it was so from the heart.
As Paul pulls that up, I've got a little bit of advice for those people running the religious organisations. LGBTIQ Australians are God's work. Surely you don't want to continue to discriminate against the people that God created. Think about that. We got it? Yep, here we go.
Yeah, we're just loading up 2 seconds.
We're loading.
The computer's being very...
Gosh, is it on the NBN, is it?
Yeah.
Being very...
Well, if it was on the NBN, it'd be next Wednesday.
Sorry, give us another minute, Macca.
Okay.
Well, I can talk about the...
You can talk under wet cement.
I can talk under wet cement. Look, we're talking about the apology, but the apology came a year after and was recommended by us at the time of the Labor Party, at the time of the expungement legislation, which was bipartisan. It was the last piece of legislation adopted under the previous government and fully supported by the incoming government. And it enables men who were convicted of historic homosexual offences, as the general title is, to have those convictions expunged, completely wiped from the records.
From the records.
And so that you could even say on oath that you have never been convicted once it's been done. So that's a possibility. We'll tell you more about it later.
So we're going to say goodbye to Jamie, but we're going to go out with these words from Daniel Andrews around the legislation.
Andrews is delivering that historic apology.
Silence and isolation. These laws did not just punish homosexual acts, they punished homosexual thought. They had no place in a liberal democracy. They have no place anywhere. The Victorian Parliament and the Victorian Government were at fault. For this, we are sorry. On behalf of this House, we express our deepest regret. Speaker, it's never too late to put things right. It's never too late to say sorry and mean it. That's what brings us all
to the heart of our democracy today here in this Parliament, where, over the course of decades, a powerful prejudice was written into law. A prejudice that ruined lives. A prejudice that prevails in different ways even still. That law was written in our name, as representatives and as Victorians. And that law was enforced by the very democratic system to which we call ourselves faithful. So it is our responsibility to prove that the Parliament that engineered this prejudice can also be the Parliament that ends it. That starts with acknowledging the offences of the past, admitting the failings of the present, and building a society for the future that is strong.
We'll put the link to that on our Twitter feed. I want to say thank you to Jamie Gardner, not just for this morning, but for decades of, of standing at the barricades. Nothing worse than standing at the barricades, as we know, and you look behind, there's no one there. But Jamie's always been front and centre. A lot of this legislation, Jamie's put his life and soul into. So thank you.
Thanks, Macca. Thanks, everyone. And get writing those submissions, folks.
Get in
out
it.
There.
Yep.
Hi, this is John Borghetti's here at Virgin Australia. For 22 years, Joy has been the voice of the GLBTI community. Virgin is a proud sponsor of Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.